Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 6. There was a prophecy by a prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before this moment came. And Isaiah was speaking to the chosen people at the time, Israel, knowing that they would be a light or a shining reflection to the rest of the world, that a people could be chosen by God, that he would come and he would live with them. Emmanuel, the very word Emmanuel means God with us. And the Jewish people were going to be an example of how God could bless, encourage, lead, and deliver all people back to the relationship that he intended. So when we celebrate Jesus' birth, we are looking through the corridors of time, both backward and forward. Backward to see that this was prophesied, that this moment actually occurred in history as it was foretold, and then forward to how does that affect me today, and how does that affect my future if I choose to believe in him now in the way those people did. We're going to be looking at Matthew 2 today, and Matthew chapter 2, one of those who walked with Jesus, who wrote a gospel narrative to understand exactly what it was like to walk with him, he chooses in chapter 2 to focus on the Magi, the wise men. Anybody heard about the wise men? Okay, you might imagine them seeing a nativity scene in your mind, sitting around a stable, all of those things. Some of these ideas that we've got might get a little bit blown this morning. Are you okay with that? It might become a little bit more real to you, that you might be able to understand what it was like to walk in their shoes and respond as they did. There was also a king at the time, and his name in history was Herod the Great. Now, I think he named himself because others would not have called him that. They would have called him Herod the Tyrant, Herod the enslaving master, Herod the Overbearing. They would call him those sort of names. So he must have named himself. I can't think of anybody else in our time who would do that. But, you know, he was on that sort of king. King Herod, some wise men. Those wise men had studied all sorts of texts, all sorts of ancient readings, including the prophets of Israel. They knew something was coming. They just didn't know when, and they just didn't know where. They were also astrologers. They were those who would seek signs and search for things that were different. And those things that were different, they weren't worshipping. They were worshipping the things that they pointed to. They would go and find out ancient texts. They would search them out. They would understand them because they knew the whole purpose was about a person and things that would happen on earth that would change the world they were living in. Now, I don't know if you've had your world change ever in your life. I was thinking about this as I was preparing and thinking about dynamic shifts or changes that happen in our lives. Maybe you had someone or have someone starting new in your workplace this next year. Maybe you have someone being born into your family this year. Maybe you have something changing in your life this year. How does that make you feel? How do you respond? What does it mean for me? What will it be like? How will it change things to have that person? How will I respond to them? It was the same in Jesus' time. Wise men, magi, responding to what they'd seen. Herod the king, Herod the great. He had built monuments. He'd built more buildings in that city than anyone to that time in Jewish history. He was a friend of the Romans, which should have given them some alarm bells. He was one who had rebuilt the temple of God in that city. It was a big deal. What could he possibly be threatened by in a baby born in the least of towns, Bethlehem? Just south of Jerusalem. That would be like being in Mount Compass, right? And people would have said, what could come out of Mount Compass? That's how they looked at Bethlehem. But let me tell you, what had come out of Bethlehem was Jacob and Rachel had ended up living there. Jacob, who was referred to through Jewish history, and Rachel had actually been buried there. David was born there, raised there, and anointed there. And another king was coming to fulfill Scripture, who would also be born there. Have I got your attention? What do we need to make room for? How do we go with change? We've got to make sure that we don't align ourselves immediately with the wise men thinking, well, we would have been their posture. We would have immediately worshipped Jesus. I would have immediately walked into that room and been happy to see him. Maybe this morning you immediately walked in and weren't happy to worship and weren't happy to see anyone. I don't know. But Herod was struggling with the revelation. Let's read in Matthew 2 the account of what transpired, of this God coming and living with us. And let's think about, how will we this morning receive the King? In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem," I've got you all thinking Mount Compass now, but that's unfortunate, and it says great things about Mount Compass too. A few k's south of Adelaide, a few k's south of Jerusalem. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king," who I've told you about, "behold, wise men, known as Magi, came from the east," "came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" They've come to Herod, who loves being worshipped and loved by people. They've walked up to him. They've come to Jerusalem and they have stepped into his courts and says, "Sorry, mate, we're looking for the new guy." How do you think he responded? How do we respond when we're not the person that people are looking for, but it's actually the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The Magi were people who weren't, it wasn't unusual for them to be around royalty. So they carried a strength of character. They were royal advisors in many provinces of the Arabic world. They would be those sought by those who are in royal families to tell them, what is going on? Tell me what the ancient texts have said. Tell me. They were like the Google of the day, right? They knew everything. You know, you didn't Google people, you got the Magi. And you said, what is going on right now in the world? And they would tell, and they would prophesy, and they would speak to what was coming. They were searching the signs. They were searching ancient texts and ancient scriptures to help those in royalty understand. So for them to be in a royal court was not unusual. It was also not unusual for them to expect that turning up in Jerusalem in a royal court and demanding to know where the baby was, they might have thought he would be there. "You're a king, aren't you?" They might have looked at Herod and gone, "Don't know if anything's coming out of this reality." But they came into those courts thinking, this is a royal place, you'll know where he is. They knew the royal birth had taken place. How did they know? They had followed a star. It hadn't just popped up in the sky. They'd been wandering along, hoping to run into something of a sign, and, oh, there's a star, I might follow it. For years they had trained. They would have turned up with their whole entourage. When you read the scriptures and you read the ancient texts from Isaiah and Micah, you see that it prophesies that they would come with all of their camels and all of their families and all that was around them. They were those who would walk in. It would have been quite a procession. It wouldn't have been unnoticed that they came in, saw the king, and said, "Where is the baby? We've been following this all of our lives. We know he's here somewhere." In verse 3, it says, "When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him." That staggers me, that line. All of Jerusalem with him. "And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." He didn't even know. He was Jewish, awaiting the Messiah, hundreds of years of waiting for the Messiah to come. And yet, he didn't know. He got all of his scribes together, all of the Pharisees. Hey, where does this say in our text, in our reality, where does it say he's going to be born? In Bethlehem. Gives the wise men their answer, gives Herod the answer. Do you see the difference in the response? They wanted to come and worship him. Herod was troubled. Little baby, born in Bethlehem. Nothing good comes out of Bethlehem. What is going on here? Small town. Big impact. Notice how Herod doesn't question it. He immediately gets heart trouble and is immediately concerned and convicted by the reality. He knows it's true. How do we know truth? It cuts to the heart. And our response gets to be to that truth we've heard. For the Magi, that was like, finally, this king has been born. We are going there to worship. We are going to recognize this moment because that's what we do. People coming from afar who search for signs that would point to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. People who were close, like Herod, were building their own kingdom. He'd even established the temple that Jesus would be part of dismantling. You can see why it's a big deal. His world was going to be rocked. I can see why it's a big deal when people hear the good news of Jesus, because their world's going to be rocked. All the temples and all the majestic things they've built in this world, all the things that have been built up to proclaim their greatness. A humble shepherd king will come and not acknowledge, but bypass and deliver the reality of his person and everything he's done. Let's recap quickly. There was a true sign that came. The Messiah's star. Not just any star, not just a random comet. It was the sign of the King of Kings and the Son of God. There was a new king. His sovereign status was absolutely known, but it was hidden in humble Bethlehem. Hidden in humility from those whose eyes would have sought to destroy it and opened up to those who sought to worship him. Isn't this an amazing text? Because really what's happening here is the gospel is starting to come out again. The good news of Jesus comes out even in the birth story, even in his reality of coming to earth, that he would give a sign that he was sovereign and God. He would come in humility and he would deliver what was promised. What did these scribes tell Herod? In verse 5 and 6, they told him what Micah said, the prophet. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For you, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. God doesn't do anything without detail. And we're going to talk about shepherds and angels interaction next week as we start to celebrate the carol's reality of what that we're actually singing about. But let me tell you, he doesn't do anything by chance. Jesus was a shepherd king. He didn't just reveal himself to shepherds because they were the least and he could extend himself, which is true. He extended himself to that as a picture, as a definite imprint of who Jesus was going to be. Not just a ruler, but a shepherd. Someone who would lead people out of darkness and into glorious light. Out of their slavery and into the future that he had for them. He was prophesied. He was promised. God had kept his promise. When we think about Jesus being born, we can remember every day, Jesus is the promise. God, the Father, kept his promise to humanity and has delivered his gospel so that we can be delivered. An ancient prophecy, everything he said, he has delivered. Both written and spoken. So in verse 7, Herod says, Well, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He's very smart, this guy, isn't he? He's like, when did this all happen? I need to be right on this. His motive wasn't great. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child. You know, he doesn't have to send all his entourage down there and then make a big kerfuffle, does he, if he just has these wise men to deliver Jesus to him? And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too might come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Exceedingly with great joy. Uninhibited, abandoned, losing the sense of their own, you know, realm and their ability to go, oh, you know, I'll think about what the guy next to me's thinking. They lost it. They were like, this is the moment. We have found this child. And going into the house, notice it was a house. Mary didn't stay in a stable for a year waiting for the wise men to turn up. I know that's going to ruin our nativity scenes a little bit. But she actually went into a house in Bethlehem, lived close by, all of those sort of things. They went to the house. And they what? The child was with his mother, Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, I love this, they worship and then they immediately offer what was valuable in their lives. They offer him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when frankincense and gold and myrrh, that was to fulfill Isaiah 60, where it says they brought out treasures, gold, frankincense and myrrh, and honored this shepherd king. Again, scripture was fulfilled. But isn't it interesting? Suddenly, they're under the command of God, not the command of Herod. They're not under the ruler of that land. They have met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They are under the rulership of God. When he says and reveals to them, now don't go back to Herod. He's protecting his plan, but he's protecting those people. The moment they had come to Jesus, the moment they had worshipped him and unfurled all of their earthly treasures before him and received his greatness, they were governed in a different way. They were now governed by what God said, what he did, and they walked in a different way. They were not under the slavery, the rule, or the requirements, and they walked with God. Today, great joy can enter our hearts. A secret is being revealed, just like it was in those days. That Christ, the King, has been born to deliver our humanity. And he's here for those who are searching. God will never shut down, stop someone who's searching. Even if you're reading all the signs, even if you've read the entirety of Google, or you've received every manuscript and read everything, he will not stop the searching because the searching points to him. All of man's knowledge will deliver you to the reality that life is meaningless without Christ, and all of God's teachings will deliver you to the meaning of life. Don't spend too long in your life working that out. In verse 13, we hear about what Joseph and Mary did under this new governance of God. Having settled it that we follow God, we follow Jesus, we follow where God wants us to go. Before their time, they were like the wise men. Listen to what happened. Now when they departed, talking about the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Well, that's alarming, isn't it? And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and they remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt, I called my son. All the way through, there is confirmation by scripture, confirmation by prophetic, and it comes and confirms what God has said to them. In our lives, when we hear from God move or have moved in our spirit to move, there is always confirmation of the spirit. There is always confirmation of the scripture. There is always confirmation of the true prophetic. Just like what happens here, walk in faith. Joseph has had his moment with an angel before, and he's realized the first time he was able to respond quickly after having some doubts. Now he has no doubt. He responds quickly, and now he is walking in a different way. And it prevents anything happening to Jesus and the course of his life while fulfilling the prophecy. Isn't this story so detailed? We're only going to get through a few verses this morning. In fact, only one more. And yet the detail that's here, we need to know. Because when Jesus' birth is questioned like Santa Claus, we need to understand what we stand on. And for those of you who've never heard about Jesus and what's happening, you need to know that this story, this good news is available to you as it was to those then. This walk of faith from a willing follower. Joseph had turned from someone who just studied the law to walking with God. Who just didn't know about God. He walked with God. Mary and Joseph now walking under the governance of God and the presence of his power. What about our friend Herod? In verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all of that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Wise men. This guy had a motive, hey? And he was ruthless and furious. And it reminds us of the ruler of the world that we actually live under when we're not under Christ's rule. Some people say, well, I don't believe in Jesus and I don't have to. I don't want to think about that stuff. Then they live under the rule and the tyranny of this world. We sometimes tell ourselves we're free, but we are only free in Christ, who when he rules our life, helps us to understand and to walk us in the way that is described. He actually gives us the ability to walk like him. What does it look like to walk like Jesus in a world that might be ruthless, that might be ruled by motives, that would even lead to death, when only Jesus, pure, holy, complete motive is to lead life to life. Even his death led to resurrection life. God leads life to life. Man will distribute us to the place of death. Jesus' life of humility led to him being a despised savior. Isn't that incredible? So when people say, or when the scriptures call us as Christians and those who love God to live a humble life, it might make you more offensive. Because until all of that agitation and that wrestle and that furiousness is released by the Son of God, then we continue to be in the war and the wrestle of this world. The clutches and the claws, always trying to escape, always trying to make ways, build enough, make enough, do enough. Until we receive Jesus, who's done it all and released us to walk in a different way. Many of you will know this verse from Jeremiah, going back to a prophet. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. when we hear that he has the plan, what we get to do is come and hear him and respond to him. Like the wise men, avail everything to come to him. Lay down all of our treasures in front of him and receive the treasure of eternal hope. It says in 13, verse 13, it says, you will seek me and find me where you seek me with all your heart. Where your heart is, your treasure lies. The Bible tells us. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and all the places where you've been driven, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is a restoring word, like the wise men. Did you realize Scripture was speaking so clearly? To say this is not unusual what the wise men did. They did exactly what we should do when we hear about Jesus. Exactly what we should do when we hear the sign of Jesus in our lives is respond wholeheartedly. And we will find him. He does not play games with us. In Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, a very well-known scripture which you will have, might have heard. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. When we put anything else behind that door we're opening, anything else behind that ask, anything else behind that seek, we have a different motive. But when it is Jesus that we ask for, when it is Jesus that we seek, when it is Jesus who's behind that door, that is who we receive. I trust for Christians in the room, that is a mind-blowing moment that scripture absolutely encapsulates what we're asking to Jesus. So you have an opportunity this morning to seek him with all your heart, just like the wise men, to ask and let it be given to you as it was given to them that day. They were given the good news. They went away rejoicing. They were full of exceedingly great joy. Maybe you're in a place today where you can't even imagine exceedingly great joy. Let God's heart open up again to you and let our hearts be open to him.